To begin, is there a clear idea of how many pets were lost to the fire?
There might be to an estimate. I do know that there are quite a few people who aren't sure if they lost their pets. That steps into the realm of grief work that we call ambiguous grief, the uncertainty of not knowing how to respond.
Can you talk more about the event and what those interested in attending can expect?
The event is going to be similar to the grief groups that I normally facilitate with the Humane Society, in that people will show up and we'll do a bit of a grounding just to kind of help people arrive to the place. And then I'll speak to some agreements in order to keep it safe for people to share. And then we move into sharing with introducing themselves, who they're remembering, who they lost, or who they anticipate losing, and then any stories that they might have. The difference here is going to be that after we do all of the sharing, after we do the support group, anybody who wants to will be able to go out to the barn and connect with the animals out there. And I will say I was hugged by one of their cows, and it was the experience I always wanted from a horse. It was just a beautiful, beautiful experience. So that's what I'm hoping that people will be able to get from this.
So you mentioned that you regularly host these support groups. Can you speak a little bit about your background in grief counseling and pet grief counseling in particular?
Sure. And I'll say I don't do pet grief counseling. This is a key piece with the support groups is that it isn't therapy, it isn't counseling. It's people coming together who have experienced losses to be with others who get it. I mean, we never really know what people are experiencing. There's such diversity with that. But the strength of the group is the group. It's the members showing up. So I have learned since doing this group, I've experienced two losses. And those times I had to step in and say, okay, I'm taking the facilitator hat off. I need to be held by this community. So that's what that is, if that makes sense to you. I do work for a hospice. I'm a grief counselor for True Community Care. And I have found, I mean, when I first got the idea of joining the support group, which already existed, but stepping in there as a co-facilitator with Karen DeClercq, who was facilitating at the time, I didn't know. I had been doing grief counseling for human losses, and I knew my experience of animal loss and the despair. And so much of what I experienced with that is what I experienced with the loss of parents and other loved ones. But I was still a little intimidated because I didn't know what would show up. And what I found shows up in the pet loss group is very much the same thing of what shows up in the human loss group. People still are there with their broken hearts, with disorientation, with a lot of the characteristics that we see around grief. And because it's a very real grief. And some people say even stronger than the grief that they experienced with their human connections. I think it's just something that is deep, profound, mysterious. And I've also found that grief itself is a healing process. Some will disagree with that. But when people say things like, you'll be grieving the rest of your life, I hope what they're saying is that you will be transforming as a result of this for the rest of your life.
Where can listeners find more information about the event, details and registration?
They can go to lovinarms.org, LUVINARMS.org. And they have, I believe it's an events column, and they can go in there. And we are asking that everybody RSVPs. Really, my interest in that is to know how many will show up. Is this something that we will do out in the tent? Do we need more room and so on? So it'll just help with that.
And is there anything else you'd like our listeners to know?
I think, especially for Well, I'd want to address two groups. For those who don't make it to the support group, the one thing is that we do have two support groups that happen per month. One is in person at the Humane Society of Boulder Valley, and the other one is out on a trail. We go for a hike out at Shanahan Ridge. And they're two very different activities. In person, it's much more about the grief. Out on the trail, it's a bit of a respite, but just knowing that you're hiking with people who get it. But I think for those who don't show up, I really want to recommend that people allow their experience of sorrow. that they find a safe place for their emotions to be present, just for them to be with them. I'm not recommending that they dig, but have a safe place where they can allow that, because so often there is this thing called disenfranchised grief, and it's a grief that our society tends to dismiss. Sometimes we see that as, well, it was your ex-partner who died. Why are you so sad? Or it was just a dog. You'll just get another one. So what I'm suggesting is that we allow that experience to be what it is. And there's a reason that with our pets, we have such a strong connection, and we could get into the love hormone of oxytocin that's produced when we pet them, when we look in their eyes, and we get that a lot more with our animals. I think we engage with that much more than we do with other humans. So allow it. Gentleness. Surround yourself with, or stay connected to, people who do understand it and who can really make the space for that. It's real.
Richard Mercer is a grief counselor based in Lafayette. The Pet Loss Grief Support Group is a free event available for both in-person and virtual attendance. The in-person portion will be held at Love and Arms Animal Sanctuary on Sunday, January 23rd from 1 to 2:30, and masks are required. More information about the support group for those that lost pets in the Marshall Fire is available at lovinarms.org. That's LUVINARMS.ORG. For KGNU, I'm Catherine Foster.